Get it?
Octavarius, so nefarious. Eight legs and a wicked arm.
Hey, everybody.
Woo!
Hey.
So we have a theme in the podcast now.
Well, we've always had the theme.
Yeah, the theme we've had since like the day after we formed.
Yeah. I know, but now it's on the podcast.
Even before.
It's pretty cool.
Our internet friends can experience it if they haven't experienced it live.
Awesome.
Yay, internet.
Really nice.
Pretty cool. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Octavarius podcast. This is episode 31.
Woo!
Damn.
Let's,
about time we get married.
About damn time. Let's start off at this end of the room and sound off.
M-I-K-U-L-A plus.
Yo, it's R-D-A-R-E-L-L-I minus.
M-U-S-Z-Y-N-S-K-I.
Oh,
it doesn't finish.
It's Brian. That's right. It's me, Brian Wool. I'm right here doing a podcast. And now we're going to have to play this game throughout the rest of the names.
Oh, no.
Who is you? You're just stealing my bit.
When you got a left hand and you got a right hand, you might be tins.
It's Lauren, I'm an E, and we're here to say it's Lauren.
We're here to say that's an old Vaudevillian G right there.
That's
all right, I'm ready. C-A-S-T-E-L-L-V-I.
Top notch.
Nice. LP.
Take that, guys.
It's that easy, dude.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
Well, who's got our mailbag? I bet
you
do, Mark.
I do, in fact. I have our mailbag.
I tried to take it from Mark earlier, but he wouldn't let me.
He almost stabbed Lauren.
Oh, yeah, open that mail,
Mark. There was an incident.
Open that mail.
Sometimes people aren't good at many things, so they gotta care about the ones they are.
Let's open the mail.
Oh, hey.
Open that mailbag.
Yeah.
And let me see if I can just unfold this letter here a little bit. Okay.
So dumb.
Yeah.
This letter comes to us from a Tim Merkins. From
is Tim Merkins? Did he write in before?
No, I
think that was Tim
that
Durkin.
Was Tim
Durkin.
Maybe they're related or something.
No, they're
that
probably
was,
friends.
That was
rivals.
About 10 or 15 podcasts ago, so, you know.
Tim Merkins.
But Tim, Tim is from, Tim is from Lake Zurich, Illinois.
Nice.
Cool. Hey, Lake Zurich Bears, right? Isn't that what they are? The Bears?
No, you're
Chicago.
Thinking of the Chicago Bears.
Chicago Bears. Yeah.
No, the high school
or
team.
The Grizzlies.
The
or the
team.
Villain from The Edge, the movie.
Oh, yeah. No, that, I think
read the letters.
Yeah, the Lake Zurich Bears don't have like a bear logo. It's just like a paw.
Okay.
It's not really intimidating.
What's the letter say, Mark?
More like a paw print.
The letter says, hey guys, I'm writing this to you with a pencil and paper because there's so many inventions out there, I just don't know which ones to use or why.
God damn it.
What's up with that?
Right, so it's about inventions.
So this podcast will be about
inventions is what I got from that.
Yep. Oftentimes I will have like a minor freak out because just to think that we live in an invented world. Like, if you look around,
what?
Everything... Okay, follow me.
I can't wait to go on this journey.
I know.
Buckle
what you,
up.
I think I know what you
yeah,
mean.
Yeah, because everything that we use, you don't really think about its history, how it came about, but everything that we use is invented,
needed to be invented.
Somehow by humans. Like, I'm going to have a soda and a straw. It's like, soda was invented, so was a straw, and glass. What?
No, I mean, that's totally true, though, because we're so many degrees away from, like, something you find in nature, you know?
Yeah, but isn't it all just replicating what you found in nature and trying to improve upon that? I'm sure somebody, you know, found like a big coconut shell and was like, it's a bowl.
I should make an iPhone out of this.
And like somebody, like the first Neolithic people first collected rainwater and collected it into that coconut shell and drank it and they said, it's like soda.
Or they had sensitive teeth and didn't want that carbonated rainwater to bother their teeth. So they put a reed. They put a reed into that coconut holding that carbonated rainwater. And then they ended up sipping that water through the reeds so it didn't hurt their teeth.
And you know the
horror. And they were like, oh, straw.
Or they put like a...
they called it a straw right away.
Yeah, the first Neolithic human.
How else did you come up with the name fucking straw?
I don't know. Some guy named Straw invented it. Cornelius Straw.
Cornelius Straw.
Or like, I don't know, maybe they watched like a woolly mammoth eat like another caveman and said...
Wait, what? No, stop. Stop right there. Woolly mammoths never ate cavemen.
Yeah, they were herbivores.
Well, I would like to make...
we can tell by their teeth.
Nick's editing that Wikipedia entry right now.
I am right now. Hypothetically, what if we invented a woolly mammoth that was not a herbivore?
Hang on. What do you mean by that?
What if we can go back in time or take their... Or, let's see, let's go with that. A robo-mammoth.
Why can't we make a...
Willa wants another Jurassic
Park.
Why
do you want to make a man-eating mammoth?
Well, why not? You know, let's think of all
because the I have enough problems in my day go around and have to worry about some giant furry robot that wants to eat me?
Robo-mammoth can't climb up the L steps, so he won't be attacking you in the red line or the brown line.
So just when I'm just dazed and walking on the street...
Is Robo-mammoth going to stand in the way of the Belmont stop, making me afraid to take the L?
Probably.
That sucks.
I think we're overlooking the main point is, Nick... We can't. Those robotics haven't been invented yet. Nor has time travel been invented yet. And if we were to place a robo-mammoth in the history of man, we would probably be wiped out because the robo-mammoth would kill us all. What say you?
Aside
from that fact, if we invented a robo-mammoth in 2010, say we invented it today, and we placed it 10 years in the past, people would find it, destroy it, reverse engineer it, and find ways to build it, and then 10 years from then, in our now past, we're going to be overrun by robo super mammoths at least.
That sucks.
It makes for a really fun commute, though. You know, you can learn how to survive.
You think that's fun?
Dude, we worked so hard so we didn't have to worry about that every day.
You worked hard like when we killed all the mammoths?
No,
got them.
Maybe our lives are too easy nowadays.
Maybe we forgot what it was like. I have an app where I can watch like any movie I want on my iPhone. Did I forget how to use the TV? You know, like what if we're getting so lazy, so just everything is just right in front of us that we forget what it's like to go hunting?
So don't buy things and hunt them then. Go hunt then, Nick.
Yeah.
Go hunt that iPhone.
Go be that guy.
What if you're lazy? What if you're really like lounging on your bed?
That's why they have apps for those things.
There's an app for that.
So I guess I just argued against myself.
Yeah. Sometimes you're just like, maybe I'm too lazy to go hunt my food. Maybe I'll just eat this steak that's in the freezer.
Or go hunt at CVS.
These inventions are put into place to make our lives easier.
That's what
separates us from the beast, because we have the capacity to use tools.
Or they are made objects. They are also made to make our lives more difficult if they are Rube Goldberg machines.
Yes.
Or a Rubik's Cube.
There are some things I think we invented that are just more difficult.
A big thing that's changed over the years, especially starting in America, is the invention of home appliances like a refrigerator, a dishwasher, a washing machine for your laundry. Seventy years ago that happened. Yeah, well, that stuff changed the way that we do things. That was a big thing because generally there used to have it. It used to be that you had to have someone home to take care of the house always. At all times, because there was so much housework to be done. Now you don't need that, and a lot of times during that time it was the woman that would stay home, and now because of those inventions, the woman does not need to stay home, and that changed the entire social politics of the way that we live our lives.
This is true.
I mean, now instead of spending hours doing dishes, you press a button, and it goes.
And then it leaks out all over your kitchen floor.
Dude, I'm still living in the dark ages.
How many dishes do you have?
My freezer doesn't even defrost. It's like the freezer that that builds up ice on it, and I have to like chip off the ice after a while. I don't have a dishwasher.
What era do you live in?
I know, right? The fridge is from like the
Neolithic man, Lauren.
It's so weird to think how recent some inventions are. Even like computer, we use so often.
Even computer.
What is computer?
Dude, a big leap that happened just a couple of years ago was the invention of Flash. Flash drives.
Oh, yeah.
Flash cards. That's a huge thing. That like your the original iPod had a spinning hard drive disk in there. Even that's changed.
The iPod Classic that I had 2 years ago, less than that, had a spinning hard drive.
Yeah. That's completely obsolete. Yeah. Flash memory changed everything. The guy that invented Flash got a Nobel Prize last year for that.
Wow. Did he really?
Yeah, because Flash has revolutionized the way that we store data.
I feel like now that it's the year, it's the 21st century, I feel like once it's changed over, people were so pissed off that it wasn't flying cars and bullshit and things like that. So,
not yet.
Well, that's the thing. But in the past, they would say that was going to happen in the year 2000. It's going to be so futuristic and stuff. And then it was taking too long. So then there was this giant push forward to make all these technologies go things like Flash, things like the iPod, things like the internet just were...
Things like computer.
Things like computer were just pushed forward in an attempt to, move past the things that we were missing.
What I think is crazy is... Because I read a lot of, like, old science fiction, like, written before computer was around.
Well, computer has been around... You know, like binary code originated with automated looms.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true.
That's right. Yeah, automated looms.
The documentary Wanted taught me that.
What?
Let's say, how about before, like, the personal computer was a widespread thing.
Yeah. Okay.
And it's really interesting to read, like, for example, the first depiction of robots. In the first depiction of robots... they attack humans and revolt.
Whoa.
Like, that's Whoa. When the guy who thought of robots thought that they would kill us all.
Who first thought of robots?
I don't remember his name right now.
Jacob Robot.
No, they're...
Jacob Robot.
Like, Socrates was talking about robots. They, he was saying they're like automatons, like a Latin word or some shit.
I mean, like, they're like modern form, though, where it's like, you know, like a metal
just like
thing.
Just like
a
metal
man,
glowing
eyes. Yeah.
That was alive.
What's interesting is all the technologies they have at the time they were writing, all of our big advancements were like rocket fuel and like heat shielding and like all these just big, like physical world changing inventions. And we have lots of those now, but like all the biggest leaps that have changed our lives are all like electronics and tiny things. And none of them ever saw that coming.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like all of their inventions are like flying cars. But if you showed them an iPhone, they would shit themselves.
Yeah.
I think about that sometimes.
You can do so much with an iPhone now. Mm-hmm. And with its ability to even in other products, like a Zune, or, well, not the Zune's more for music and media, but, you know, you go to, like, the Motorola Droid, you can do so much with these things.
I often, chime in if you agree, but... I think sometimes I forget how amazing some of the technologies we have.
Yeah,
and it's just how frustrating. It's like, I just feel so spoiled. I got my iPod, and then it's like, it's this musical, it's like this magic box that plays music and goes onto this fantastical series of tubes that goes and it gives me information. And if it goes like slow for 1 second, I'm like, fucking piece of shit! What is this, 1930s? Come on!
I am just trying to figure out the name of the drummer from Smash Mouth.
It's taking 5 seconds! This is broken!
I freak out when my phone doesn't get reception in the subway. Like, I get annoyed with that. How many of you didn't even have a cell phone? Like, when did you get your first cell phone?
Going
your
to
own
college.
Cell phone.
Mine was high
school.
May of my senior year of high school.
Yeah.
I got my mom's old
senior
cell phone.
I think I was eighth grade.
I went to college.
That's not true. Eighth grade, I got my beeper, and I had a lot of different beepers.
You a doctor?
No, it was great because like I'm in high school, and me and my girlfriend at the time, and like my freshman year, we had our own code, like our own alphabet with numbers on the beeper. So she would beep me with like a certain series of numbers that would say like, oh, hey, I'm going to pick you up at, 8:30, or I love you, or something like that. So funny. And I could probably still remember it. Some of the numbers were obviously reused for different things, like H was 4, so it was A
I'm
was
sure
4.
I'm sure was 1-4-3, I love you?
No. Oh, yeah, it was.
Yeah, 1-4-3 was probably 1-4-3. I love you. That was a big beat.
My code was 420, hers was 177, because that spelled out M. And so then I got my cell phone, and I was like, fuck beepers. But there was a while where I had both. Because my end of my beeper contract was not up yet, and I got a new cell phone, so I had both on my waist. So I felt like
I felt like
an agent.
I had the opposite experience because I didn't get a cell phone until I went to college. Yeah. And I went, and I was in college for about a week, and I think Labor Day weekend was a week after college started, and I couldn't literally I did not make as many friends because I couldn't.
Sad story time.
is this a Mark another, sad story?
But every
tales of sorrow.
But I would have, and Nick, who was my roommate at the time,
hello.
He would he had a great cell phone, and it worked awesome, and he'd meet all these people, and they'd call him while he was in class and be like, we're going to the dining center. And I would get home and no one would be there. Aww. And I'd try their dorm room number, but everyone had unplugged their phones because they all had cell phones. And then
poor Mark.
And I'd just sit, or I'd go get food and bring it up and watch a movie. But then every time I was with people, it was fine. But as soon as I left and no one could reach me, then I would be disconnected for 2 days. And I got home and I was what do I have to do to get a cell phone?
Yeah, wow. It was.
This
it
was Mark's so, tale of sorrow.
Now it's so easy to get a cell phone. It's crazy if you don't have one.
Yeah.
I remember when you wanted to find your friend and they weren't home, you had to just go and get them. You had to go and look at the places that they might possibly be.
Yeah.
Instead of just calling them, you'd have to look around. You'd be like, well, they either hang out at the coffee shop, the movie theater, or the mall.
Remember,
if they're not at home.
Remember having to call people's houses and try and see if their parents were home, and maybe their parents knew where they were. You had to communicate through several different channels.
Mm-hmm.
Just to get to one human being.
Remember using payphones?
Ew!
So, put change in there.
Man, when I was a kid, I used to always take change from payphones. I used to always check to see if there was extra.
Yeah.
Barely.
Yeah.
Barely.
If I can find a phone booth, I'll use it. I don't think there is one left in Chicago. Is there one left in Chicago?
There's gotta be.
I've never seen a phone booth.
Yeah.
No, maybe on
the
south
the
side.
It's probably filled with cum.
Yeah, there. You barely find a payphone anymore.
Yeah.
And
the bowling alley has them, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's some.
I said that with such mallets.
Guys, real quick question. What was the year that Back to the Future and the second one went
2015.
Because I always thought, because Back to the Future came out, the second one, 85, 87 or something like that?
Back to the Future one was 1985.
Yeah. So, when I started watching it, I was five, so it was the 90s, whatever. I was like, wow, I wonder where we're going to be at this time, and now that we're at 2010 and we're, 5 years away? You said it's 2015?
Yeah, we're there.
We're 5 years away
from
that.
Minority Report is 2032. Think about that.
Yeah, but that I still feel like we have time for. We have 22 years. I feel like we only... I don't think we'll just get there yet. But... do you think that was an accurate? I mean, did they really think that?
No, I don't think Back to the Future was. But I was telling LP this actually the other day
that
the future is now. That Spielberg, when he was in pre-production for Minority Report, actually hired I don't know what you'd call them, future thinkers. That was the idea was
future
thinkers.
But the idea was if technology was going the way it was when the movie came out in 2001, I think where do you think we'd be in the next 30 to 35 years?
Yeah.
Huh.
Heightening a little bit, but this is where we're worried about the environment. So let's not have gas you know, cars that use gas, let's have them use electricity and things like that.
Yeah, I think what it amounts to is you can never, I mean, more than a couple of years, five maybe, you really can't predict the future technology with any degree of accuracy. It's always, it might not achieve the level of greatness that you're expecting, but it will always surprise you.
Dude, I got so fucking pissed when the electric car got killed. I got really upset about that. Remember the electric car? It started in the mid to late 90s.
Yeah.
The electric car was a real big deal. And they made a documentary about it called Who Killed the Electric Car?
Yeah.
And it was like a thing. And I remember reading about it in school, and I thought, man, battery technology will totally evolve. This is totally going to work. This is going to be great. And then it just ended up dying. And then it went away for a while, and then Toyota was like, oh my god, we have hybrids now. What amazing technology. And I was like, this seems like a pussy-ass version of the electric car.
Well, you're talking about the electric car, you're talking about killing, like, the oil industry. And they're not going to let that happen. So obviously, you know, everyone like that, everyone who profits from cars right now would try and kill that nice electric car thing, just because... They're losing billions of dollars if that happens.
That's true. The Prius, if anything, is like a compromise between the two.
I understand, but there's totally ways around that. And as you know, as a large corporation, if you have a solid R&D department, you know, inventors in one room inventing things,
they
should be figuring out, you know, that there are other options and that the fuel is limited, and wouldn't you want to be ahead and in on those profits and get over those oil guys? I mean, I feel like...
I'm agreeing with you.
So you think that... I mean, my thing is wouldn't... Even if you're a big oil dude, your oil will run out one day. Wouldn't you want to hedge your bet and, like, just start to dabble into something else, even though you're a big oil dude, and then eventually, as time goes on, you'll, you know, transition.
Well, like, if I'm a big oil dude, and I know my shit's not gonna last forever, well, then that's not really my problem, because I just need my oil to last for as long as I live, so I can be, you know.
But you don't care about your kids.
I'm guessing I'm a big Texas billionaire, and I would know them because I'm from Texas. I wouldn't care about my kid if I had $24 billion.
Well, I'm saying, well, here's the thing: is like the Rockefellers are still a powerful. There are plenty of powerful families that pass down to their children.
Their names known in history.
Yeah,
as being a owner of.
I mean,
I want to be LP the
Hilton
terrible.
Has gone down. there are names that have gone down over time. And generally, most people feel that will be their immortality, and they crave immortality more than riches in the moment.
Well, you've changed. I think you're right. You've changed my mind, but you're probably not going to change the oil guy's mind.
I feel like if I'm an oil guy,
I'm just curious about it. I guess I'm just confused as to why they don't want to be immortal.
I think
that's a great goal, and when you invent something that's awesome, isn't that like the goal? Is we always say Edison. Wow, you know, and ComEd is our power company. He's the guy that made the light bulb.
We're talking really big inventions right here. There are a lot of inventions. Like, the guy who invented the ShamWow wasn't...
I was just about to bring that
the
up.
The ShamWow guy was not interested in immortality. The ShamWow guy is interested in nothing but making as much money as he can until he dies.
ShamWow guy?
What?
And this is the thing.
Yeah,
I think
ShamWow
the
guy.
Thing with the oil guys, too, is, like, if you leave your kids, like, $10 million, I'm sure they can find a way.
Like, yeah, if I'm the oil guy, I'm like not going to bother investing in electric technology. I'm going to wait till electric technology starts taking over, and I'm just going to ride it as long as I can. I'll still sell oil cars, and I'm going to fill them with prizes.
What about great American... What about great American inventors like Ron Popeil?
The inventor of the pocket fisherman.
I was just about to call him
rotisserie barbecue.
I was just about to call Ron Popeil a not great inventor.
Why?
For similar reasons.
Do you own any of his products? Because I have a show, or my grandparents have a Showtime rotisserie barbecue, and it rocks.
My parents never had a Showtime.
Showtime rules, dude.
What else is he responsible for?
Set it and forget it.
I know. Ron Popeil is responsible for a lot of other. Famous shitty inventions, like as seen on TV.
The Pocket Fisherman has actually sold like over 10 million units.
To idiots.
What is a Pocket Fisherman? I don't know. Yeah, I'm not familiar.
Do you want to explain or should I? Is
this just
like a rod that is?
It's
like
an extendable rod. That's all it is,
it's
right?
Picture one of those dog leashes that have a handle.
I'm thinking picture one of those shitty plastic lightsabers where it's, the different cylindrical compartments come out.
It has just about everything. Now the guy who made fish.
It's like that thing they hit Nancy Kerrigan in the knee with, but with like fishing line on it.
Yeah, that was dark.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, way to bring up Nancy Kerrigan.
What is she
soon,
been?
Too soon, man.
This has been Nancy Kerrigan points.
What's shitty about Ron Popeil? I like Ron Popeil.
I don't know.
He's a real American.
I don't know. And you know what? I guess I can't call him a shitty inventor or a not great inventor. I suppose I should take that back because... I read a whole book just on the infomercial industry called "But Wait, There's More," I believe, and it's all like Ron Popeil is one of the main characters that's being interviewed in this, and he is very proud of his inventions,
as he should be.
Well, as he shouldn't be, but he is.
Dude, he's made billions of dollars, and he has an industry and a name that's synonymous with quality.
I disagree with that.
What do you own of his
comment
that's shitty?
Did he invent the Bump It? You know,
really?
What?
I know what you're talking about. It's the little thing at Walgreens.
You're
talking
about
Bump It?
The Bump It, so it makes it look like you spent hours on your awesome updo.
No, that's an invention.
I think we're getting into a different... We're saying that people who invent one product and become millionaires are great inventors versus Thomas Edison.
Well, Ron
Popeil invented hundreds of things.
Well, here's the thing. Edison did not technically invent those things. He had teams of engineers that would make them for him. He would come up with the idea, and then other people would make it, and then he would say, "Edison!"
Which is why I like Tony Stark.
But I don't know. I would argue...
Well, Leonardo, like, just I figured like a great invention is something that's so ahead of its time that revolutionized
the
world.
Well, when you think about...
Not the ShamWow.
When you think about...
Early inventors
invented... things that were so big that they created their own industry for them.
Yeah.
Like if you
Nothing.
Like the person to invent the
fighting suits,
the lazy one. Like now recliners are now its own industry.
Yeah.
So I think a great inventor is someone who creates an industry. I think there's so much more stuff made right now.
I think society can survive without a lazy boy.
I think
okay,
it's
then
harder
let's,
for
then,
like
okay, let's bring
a
up.
Lightning or like okay. A light bulb
so,
versus
what you're saying is things that have actually changed the way society works versus comfort.
Yes,
that's what you're getting.
Yeah.
Like the dude
or
that
something
like
that's
the
like
radio.
Different.
So yeah. Would you call Steve Jobs a great inventor?
Well, what has he invented?
Lots.
The iPhone. The one.
It's just like an MP3 player, essentially. He didn't invent that though.
Well,
his company invented
the iPhone. It changed the way society lives. Now, smartphones have changed the way society lives.
I'd say he helped, then you'd go to like Xerox that created graphic interface.
Yeah.
I think that was a big deal.
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy.
Or the dude that made TV.
Yeah, like
Tony TV.
Well, no, and one of the things that always surprises me about like early versions of inventions is how...
cotton gin, that's a great invention.
That's
Eli
a great... Winnie.
like
oh my god, it revolutionized the world.
Like so many things are
the printing press, that's huge.
There like especially like think about like the early print there's so much luck and intuition involved even in these great inventions. Like the early printing press, people had to hand carve the blocks for the printing press. Or the one that always blew my mind was I found out my grandfather
Invented the printing press?
Yes.
It's hundreds of years old.
No, grandfather's Gutenberg.
He came back from the war. He came back from the war, and he worked for a plastics company, and they were making the backs of televisions that would hold, like, all the vacuum tubes. And no one else could really make these. And also, because the vacuum tube molding process wasn't very accurate, there was no way you could ever really say, like, we need it to be exactly, like, 24.83 inches and this, and, like, have this kind of curve. So they would show him models, and they'd do math, and in the end, he would just have to guess.
Wow.
And, like, he was apparently, like, one of the better people in the industry at just guessing what this TV needed.
That's crazy.
After, like, thinking about it a bunch.
Wow.
Like that, and that was his job. And, like, that's how he didn't get fired when lots of other people got fired, is they were like, well, we need Pete. He can guess about the backs of TVs.
Wow. What about people who, like, invent non-material things? Like,
such as?
People...
Like love?
Better air.
Invent
no, that was
evil.
Thomas Edison.
We have created evil.
Yeah, what
are
examples
are you saying? Like L. Ron Hubbard inventing Scientology?
Karl Marx inventing
like
communism?
Ooh. Well, yeah, I mean,
or
like,
Tony
yeah,
Stark.
I mean, like,
Isaac Pope.
God damn it.
Well, I mean, like, we always idolize these people who invent, you know, the lipo and the, and I mean, you know, railroad. That's great. I mean, we wouldn't be able to travel the world. We wouldn't be able to, you know. I mean,
can't,
yeah, that's
ocean.
Amazing. But I think
we still can't travel overseas.
Well,
on railroad.
Yeah.
But Tins, can you imagine the first Neolithic man who strung a woolly mammoth up on two cables and rode it down a hill?
What are you talking
about,
Lauren?
About,
I just mean like the okay, the
like
person who invented podcasts or
who invented podcasts?
Yeah, like or improv blog. or people, you know, the person who invented like
soccer.
Just a certain way of doing something. I mean like something that's not materialistic.
Yeah,
I have ideas or religions
property.
Or you know, certain way of thinking about
you can't
something.
Really put, like, I don't think you
would you
put,
say you invented it?
I don't
well,
know.
Yeah.
That's what I'm looking
for. I've said before, you know, softball was invented in Chicago.
What?
Is
that really the word? I feel like that
softball
is wrong.
The first
created a better word. I'm
softball
sure.
has always been here. We merely
but
discovered
it. I mean, it is an invention of an idea and a system of rules.
And is an invention not a creation?
I thought invention was like, I always associate invention with like a physical thing.
Mm-hmm. No, I think it can be a non-physical. I like because like Mark Smith, they say invented slam poetry in Chicago. That's mm-hmm. He's like, I guess you can say he started it or
created.
They
I think
say that
those are much stronger.
Yeah,
I would.
You know?
They say that necessity is the mother of invention, and sometimes people just need slam poetry.
Thank you.
How are we gonna get out of this cave?
I got it.
Hold on. I mean, that was a good poem, but what do three uneducated people say about it? Oh, and they're just gonna say it with numbers. And those numbers are gonna steadily climb throughout the night.
Is that your experience with...
That is the exact truth about slam poetry. It's called scoring peak.
There's three judges.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
You don't know
I hate slam poetry.
No.
Wait, Mark.
Let's let
Mark talk about...
Okay, Mark, wait.
Mark used to be a real, like, big slam poet.
What?
Yeah.
Holy
Mark,
shit.
Mark was a big poet. Mark's fucking voicemail was a poem.
Wait, which I believe started... Hang on.
You're kidding me.
Talk about a tale of sorrow.
Wait, Mark.
On Mark's first... Remember this, Nick?
Oh, I remember because I heard it all throughout senior year. In the aftermath.
His first cell phone that he was telling his sad story about his first cell phone, he discovered
part of it.
That he could
Mark
make
is
a
so
voicemail.
Forlorn that this
and
is being
so,
told.
And so every time I dialed Mark, this is what would happen.
Nick McCoolis.
Are you ready?
I can do part of it, Mark.
Can you do it?
I can do at least the beginning.
So I want to preface this by saying whatever Nick says, probably better than what it was.
All right.
This is going to end up being flattering.
Okay.
I need you for part of this.
All right. Here we go.
I can do the beginning.
I'm on pins and needles.
It's all right. We're on the fourth ring and just about to approach the fifth ring. Here it comes.
And in the aftermath, I'm left holding fragmented constellations of my mind.
Reflecting. No, it continued.
Continued.
Reflecting light pools break into a million crystals.
I can't believe this.
Dancing in my hand.
There's white China raindrops.
White China raindrops.
White China raindrops. White China raindrops. The light breaks into a million white China raindrops dancing in my hand.
Boop. Hey, it's Brian and Nick. We're at Waterston Food Court.
Yeah,
you
want
to get some nachos?
Can you meet us? Oh, please. And that was what it was like.
And you couldn't.
Mark is dying.
And it's not really. I think Mark's phone was so old that you couldn't really skip past it, so you had to hear it each time.
Oh, so you get it memorized after like 10 times.
Well, this has been years later, and they have it memorized.
Can you imagine what it must
have been for the National Poetry Slam with it? So it couldn't have sucked that much.
Yeah, like he was good.
You hear it 50 times in a night.
Can you imagine what it was like to be a new friend of Mark at that time?
Dude, I remember.
I will say this. Women really enjoyed it.
Hey, Mark. I love that weird rapping thing you just did. Anyway, some people are playing board games in my room. You're no longer invited.
You know what's interesting about Mark Mazinski, though, that we don't know, or at least I know this, is that he once created blueprints for an invention of how to get free to get clean water into Chicago during a gen ed we had together. Mark, I now turn the floor towards to you.
Mark, are you going to win this podcast?
Mark, you made blueprints to create clean water.
Instead of taking notes in the class.
This is a podcast-winning story.
This is time to get clean water
This was a class called Earth's Dynamic Weather. Nick, the song, if you would.
Earth's Dynamic Weather. Earth's dynamic weather.
Yeah, so...
Wow.
Was that a real thing?
Nick saying that every day.
Yes, and they did it outside of class when they would be hanging out with me.
I took a math final, and I could not think of that song. And I was just furious because I was trying
Mark, don't care. How did you and this invention come?
Okay, simple. You got to get... It's got to be by a large body of water. So, check, Chicago, we win. Then, you have to have a lot of nuclear power plants.
Oh, boy.
And what you're going to do is just boil a shit ton of water. And then, there was some other aspect of this that would allow you to, like, catch the steam, let it accumulate in clouds, and then you would have, like, a big fan that would, like, quickly cool it, and then you can make rain.
So you have to distill water into clouds and move those clouds? Is that what I'm...
Yeah, see, the downside of
nuclear power, right?
So you're
running
a nuclear
wind? Power plant?
Two, yeah.
Under, like, I would imagine a huge one.
So you this would sounds, yeah. this whole city.
See,
this sounds like something that, like an evil supervillain would create.
I mean, like, a really dumb one, because you could just...
Yeah,
really
there was a dumb villain.
Like the
it was the villain,
one, yeah.
The villain in the movie The Avengers
did
the same
just
thing.
Saying, if you took the nuclear power and just powered, like, a line of buckets, you could dump more water on the city than this would make in rain. But I didn't think about that at the time.
Oh, so your plan not only was dangerous, but didn't work like very well?
I mean, it worked fine. It was
like, not
just,
very well.
Look, I haven't finished testing it yet, so...
Forever, I imagine.
How did you do in that
we'll
class,
never get
by the
that
way.
Chance.
No,
you
know, I didn't...
That.
I didn't...
C4 pass.
Because, well, everyone...
C4 pass.
Everyone is taking multiple pages of notes. I just look, and Mark has had like 20 pages of blueprints scratched out.
Why won't this work?
B.
If the nuclear power plants were
no, no, I got a C in that class. I got a
C for pass.
C for pass.
C for pass.
Mark, you actually reminded me of something really stupid that my friend and I made when I was little. Really
is this another Cloud's Tale of Terror? Is someone going to lose their arm?
Cloud's Tale of Dumb.
Go on.
Like, we really want to be on the show Figure It Out. And
here we go.
Look out, Mark. Here comes Cloud.
This girl from my classes in 7th and 8th grade her name was Danielle, and she had got out and figured out for inventing this thing.
Figure it out. Figure it out is where three celebrities, right? Yeah,
three Nickelodeon celebrities.
And he's like Danny. He was Danny Tamborelli.
The board was Wheel of Fortune style, in the sense that like as it was full of blank words, and as soon as one of the contestants said a word,
and they got
containing that phrase. It revealed itself. So
they have to ask them clues, right? Or questions?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, yeah. Oh, yeah. The
Summer
sorry,
Sanders
the,
was the host.
Yeah.
Yeah. The panelists all answer questions and they have to.
I thought they asked questions to the guy.
Yeah, they ask questions to the contestants.
And it's always someone weird, like, I trained pythons to eat
ducks.
Yeah. So what was your.
Yeah, my friend Danielle had got on the show, her and her sister, because.
Really?
They invented something called the Barf Buddy, and all it was is it was a bucket, and then attached to the side was like a water bottle and a flashlight, and that's all it was. And like
a water bottle and a flashlight.
So it's like a barfing survival guide.
It's just,
if you need to barf, then you have this.
You put it on the side of your bed. It's a bucket, and then like,
always.
Yeah. And so we're like, dude, if she could invent that and get on figure it out, like we can invent something and get on figure it out. And so
you're right.
We would make these stupid videos.
The puke
like,
pal.
We'd spend days just like brainstorming, and I just remembered one of them was called like the Wonder Water, and it just kind of looked like a mouse trap. It was just Rube Goldberg just transported water. It didn't really do anything.
It spilled your drink.
Elaborately.
They're all like just really useless inventions, and I don't know if we actually sent in our tape or not, but.
It's like you were trying to invent a non-perpetual motion machine.
Do any of you know someone that's that guy that always comes up with great ideas?
Yeah.
He never makes them?
Like, well, I had that one, my one friend Jason, who just got married. The first
he was
time,
the idea man?
He was an idea man. He wanted to be an inventor, so he had all these...
Wow.
There was he had a door opening thing that you can set up in your room, and he made like a few of these, and he wanted to make me buy one. But you can be laying in your bed, pull a lever, and it would open and close your door.
That's
pull
lame.
A lever like a steampunk.
Yeah, and it'd be like a. No, it was just it was strings attached to the
with
ceiling.
A shoe like hit the door.
Yeah, he would send some of his ideas in to get patented, and they would get rejected all the time because it's like. No.
You know,
no one's going to buy that.
You know
who
was a great inventor? The guy, Rick Moranis from Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Hey,
I love Rick Moranis.
He was a great inventor in that film.
Are you joking?
He invented
a
shrinking
ray,
machine.
I believe.
Yeah,
that's pretty
fucking
awesome.
But he's got nothing
then,
on Q from the James Bond films.
He's
let's be honest.
Government agent.
Well, Q never shrunk James Bond down. That's still pretty impressive.
To shrink anything? I mean, why?
The fact
Rick
is,
Moranis.
He never even blew James Bond up.
Yeah.
Like in the sequel, Honey, I Blew Up the Kid. That's what he's referencing. Honey, I Blew Up the Kid.
Lauren, why are you fighting this? It's a Disney movie.
It's true.
Okay, I know. I'm not saying I didn't watch it all the time when I was
did Rick Moranis,
Lauren?
If I had a choice between blowing something up and shrinking something, I'd blow it up.
Did Rick Moranis invent...
Wait,
why?
What
does it matter?
If I was like, Lauren, here's an adorable giraffe. You can shrink it to be a cute house pet or blow it up.
I see. That's true, because I do
what
like
what would you
babies
blow up?
You
like
I
what?
I'd blow up a giraffe. Why not? A fucking 80-foot giraffe, and I only make one?
You'd create a monster.
I would want a tiny one to keep in my purse.
Cloud said, totally serious.
Shrinky pets.
Well,
they would
you
call
want
it
a huge giraffe?
I see.
See the eighth wonder of the world.
True
Matt Tins Herzog's enormo giraffe.
Let me get this straight. You're fine with an 80-foot giraffe, but you're against my idea of a robo mammoth.
Good point.
Ah,
you just
you.
Got countered, Tins. Fuck
here, okay. Here is my defense that I am coming up with.
You better make it quick. I got one. So are you ready?
Popcorn Castelvi.
What?
You know,
what does that mean?
Popcorn?
What did you just say?
Oh,
what is that?
Did you not ever do popcorn in school?
No.
I'm
reading.
Popcorn.
I will not continue until you explain what this is.
Popcorn is a system designed by bored elementary school teachers, I assume.
With you so far.
In which when you're reading long passages in a book, like a history book, social studies book, something like that, somebody is forced to start reading. After they've read a couple sentences, a paragraph,
you pass
from
it
the
over
book,
and say popcorn.
You say like popcorn, Castelvi. At which point, Castelvi has to start off with exactly where you left off, and it's to prove that you've been paying attention.
Yeah. No, I've never called it popcorn. No, am I the only one at school that didn't do popcorn?
I didn't do popcorn.
Not do popcorn.
Really?
No, probably.
Wow.
We did passing. We never called it popcorn. We said
pass over.
Nick, your turn.
Continue.
I can't believe that popcorn is not as common as I thought it was.
It's just the people on this couch.
I know popcorn.
Yeah,
we went to the same elementary school. Wait, with two of you.
Oh, anyway, you blow up the giraffe. The reason to do it, like versus a mammoth, is I can kill a giraffe really easy. Just shoot.
What, an 80-foot one?
Okay. Also, you.
How tall is a giraffe?
Like normally, like probably 15.
Really?
No, 10, maybe 12.
12, I'd probably say.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like probably pretty tall.
13.
I don't want to know.
You know what though? What I do. Tame the giraffe.
Docile.
Okay, yeah, you tame the you keep the giraffe for 3 years. How long do giraffes live?
A week, maybe a day.
No.
A day.
2 years.
They're like
flies.
They're like
horses.
Okay.
Say 40 years.
Yeah, okay, keep them 5 years then. Tame the giraffe. Yeah. Train it as much as a giraffe will be trained.
Very little.
Just so it's not just going to run amok and rebel against humanity. At some point, you know?
Yeah.
Which I don't think is that hard to do for a giraffe. They're not normally that rebellious.
Whereas a mammoth
if they blow up, would they still have the same lifespan? They'd still possibly live to be 40?
No, probably not, because as soon as they, like, grew big enough, their legs would buckle and break under the enormous weight.
In Honey, I Blew Up the Kid...
Is the kid's? I know the 2-year-old's legs buckled under his own weight and he broke them.
I remember the extended edition.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that have been awful?
Just crying in the middle of Vegas, like
that would
be terrible.
I feel like
the Hard Rock Hotel would have gotten it even worse.
They would have had to call an enormbulance.
I can't believe he just said that.
Oh my God.
Wow,
oh my God.
Nick,
you're a fucking idiot.
Call me. I'm not gonna pick up. I think I just remembered my answering machine message.
Let me call ISU. I'm going to call ISU Mark.
Yeah, okay. Fuck you for that, by the way.
Shut up, you're ISU
We've known
Mark.
Each other for years, and Nick puts me in his phone as ISU Mark.
Awesome.
That tells me that Nick wouldn't know who Mark was unless the descriptive term ISU is put in front of him. So which means we believe he's searching through his phone. He's like, Mark? Oh, from ISU.
The guy I've known for like 3 years prior.
My roommate and friend.
Okay, so I'm going to call ISU Mark. Ring, 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 ring. Ring, 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 ring. Ring, ring. Oh, is he going to pick up? Ring, ring.
And in the aftermath, I am left holding fragmented constellations fallen from a bleeding sky like white china raindrops and shattering like crystal in my hands. Beep!
Wow. Leave your message after the tone.
To page this person, press 1. After the tone, please record your message.
That
when you finish recording,
awesome.
you may hang
I remember
up,
that,
or press
Mark.
1
How long
for more
was
options.
On your voicemail?
Too long, Lauren. It was on my phone for too long.
Yeah, I think I might have heard such a message.
Yeah.
That means
you were there
for over a year.
Well, how long? Who changes their voicemail frequently?
I was forced to. Well, because I used to make wacky voicemails.
I did. My dad yelled at me one time.
Yeah,
said
my dad yelled at me.
James, how long have you had your voicemail?
Which voicemail?
The one you have now. Do you even know what it says?
Yeah,
anymore.
This is my professional voicemail since I got a human job. Hi, you've reached Matt Herzog. Sorry, I can't come to the phone.
No, it sounds
right
like
now,
this. You've reached
yeah,
Matt Herzog.
Yeah.
You don't even remember.
No way.
Yes, it
yes,
does.
It always
I know because I call you all the time.
It always goes,
you've reached Matt Herzog. Please leave
Does it really?
Yeah. I have, just leave
Brian says, hi. Hi, Mrs. Brian Wall.
What's that?
We had a friend who didn't have a password on her voicemail.
Oh,
so we would always just call and change her voicemail messages.
Do Gunter's Pizza.
Oh my god.
Hi, this is Nick. Please leave a message.
I just remembered that for it must have been a year and a half. My parents left a voicemail.
To the spaghetti sauce.
No. My parents left. They let me leave a voice message on their home phone. And this is back in when I was in 7th or 8th grade. They let me do a Dr. Evil impression. They let
How
me.
How many years was it on there?
A year and a half, oh probably 2 years. They let me do a Dr. Evil impression. I recorded like the Dr. Evil theme off of probably a VHS of Austin Powers.
It would have been.
Played the music in the background and did a kind of evil message.
Can you do it for us right now, Tim?
No.
Yeah, you can. Come on, do an approximation.
Maybe you
come
can.
Come on, Tim.
What the hell was
just an approximation.
It wasn't... I, you know what? I don't think the dialogue was that evil, but it was something like... God damn it. You have reached the Herzog residence. We cannot come to the phone right now, so please leave your name and number after the tone. I think that was it.
Tans, do the evil laugh.
That's hilarious.
Tans, that was horrible.
That was awesome.
That was absolutely terrible.
Tans, it'd be really great if your message was like, and in the aftermath, I am left holding.
God, like, it's been so long since I've seen Austin Powers. I don't really remember what he sounds
Castelli,
like.
That seems bad, but my parents, God bless them, decided to try to make a sketch on our voicemail.
Oh no.
And it was topical too. My dad wrote a Bill
sketch.
Clinton,
wait, we wrote a sketch? Like
for the voicemail. It was like they'd call and my dad would come on pretending to be Bill Clinton. It was like, hi,
no
you've reached the Clinton residence or the walls.
Oh my god.
Wow. I'm a little busy right now. Be right there in a minute, Monica.
Ha
ha. Are you kidding me?
Oh my god.
Does your dad listens to this podcast, right?
Yeah,
you want to write in denial or you think that happened? Or
yeah.
He'll either deny it or remember it and turn red.
Yeah, but can you write in? Write
yeah,
to Octavarius or
info@octavarius.com. octavarius.com.
First of all, you call it a voicemail. Which at the time
it was an answering machine, yeah.
Which is interesting to me.
Voice
but
message,
more, it's, no, it was answering machine.
It
no,
was
no,
an
no,
answer, it no. was a it was a micro cassette
yeah,
answering
yeah.
machine.
It would have
yeah.
been.
See, I remember we got voicemail and it was a huge step up because then we could take messages while we were on AOL.
Yeah.
Which I don't think I ever paid for because we constantly got those discs.
Invention AOL.
That were like, you remember, like you have like 8,000 free hours of AOL.
Dude, such a big deal with AOL. Remember their big thing, and AOL banked on this, and this is part of what AOL's downfall was keywords.
Yeah.
Big thing with AOL. They were like, people don't want to do that www dot shit.
Oh, yeah.
They want to just type in food, and then you'll be there.
They're all just surly New Yorkers.
But wasn't their interpretation of keywords like, you type in keyword food, and it will automatically redirect you to food.com or something along those lines?
Yeah, like you as a website would pay AOL money. So that whenever someone typed in food, they would go to your site.
Yeah, because I remember
others.
Because I remember, like, I'd be watching Nickelodeon.
That's how AOL thought the internet should be.
I remember
that's what we all obliged with until Yahoo and other stuff.
Like Nickelodeon, I wanted to go on the Nickelodeon website so bad as a kid when AOL was first introduced, and the way you got to Nickelodeon was just keyword Nick.
Yeah, that was it.
And that was so easy for kids to follow. It was
great
for kids.
But Nickelodeon also owned the keyword Nickelodeon.
Sure. And they also own the keyword Nick Jr., Nick Jr., and then Nick Space Jr.
They should have also just pissed somebody off by also being keyword coffee.
All right, so how many of you had AOL?
Oh, I did.
I did.
Okay, so we all had...
Wait, didn't we... What's so, this, I just don't remember those years. I had AIM. Didn't AOL own AIM?
How many of you got in trouble with chat rooms?
AOL
was
remember
all
chat
about
rooms?
Chat rooms.
Yeah,
I remember chat rooms.
I had it on Kazaa. Like,
age, sex,
Napster.
Location.
Yeah, exactly. But like AOL actual chat rooms.
I was never really a big participant in those. I
used to do those all the time.
I wonder if there's like a huge decrease in the amount of people that go on AIM as messages just because of texting now.
And Facebook.
I don't use
MSN
or
use
AIM
like
anymore.
My cousin
no, why
I never use AIM.
Why? I use AIM.
It's Facebook chat now. That's all
they use AIM. Or they use AIM a lot.
Like, I don't know anyone that...
I still have my instant messenger.
Yeah.
Name. Would you tell them to the podcast?
What my screen name is instant messenger?
Isn't it like Matasaurus?
No, that's yours.
Well, mine is Monkey Ninja Spy. Yours is...
I'm the Zigzag.
I am
the Zigzag. Oh, I remember that.
Yeah,
I don't use it, so good luck. Like, ever.
I remember Makula's. Like,
I've never used it. Never.
I remember when I first met Nick Makula, I was like, and that was a thing at the time.
Hey,
not everybody had cell phones. Say, hey,
what's your aim?
What's your aim?
Oh, no.
And Nick would have to say always, I'm Sweet Goose Love.
Ah, that's right. You are Sweet Goose Love.
Sweet
Goose
Love. Mark, like, cool
it's horrible.
Mark.
Love, L-U-V.
Sweet.
Wait, yeah. Love. I was just F-10s. Mark,
you were F-10s.
Did you have a good one?
No, I was cool Mark 85.
Yeah, I knew it was cool.
I was soccer girl 1842.
Well, I was also John Abercrombie F though.
Yeah.
It's my asshole alter ego.
I was
swimmer chick 1985.
I was
BWO
333.
But I was
just
and then like blocking people and then like going on a different screen name and like fucking with people. Did you guys ever do that?
Yeah, I did. I had one that was called Fudgy 30.
You had your main screen name and then you had your backup screen name.
Yeah.
Mine was
so sick
out real on the internet.
You know,
I had a bunch of backups.
I had a few backups. Yeah. I had No One Likes You was one of mine.
I had a friend
you were
who's...
first to No One Likes You? That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I had a friend's a fake screen name. His fake one was Lawn Chair Bob.
Nice.
Lawn Chair Bob. And mine, mine was like, it was like, my alternate one was like, Too Sexy 3K. And that was like my secret one to see like, you know, what was up.
What was up on the AIM.
Who's blocking who.
Yeah.
Or like
that,
if you want to fuck with somebody.
Yeah, that's what it was all about.
Yeah.
There was so much,
so much anonymity.
Blocking and secrets on AIM.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember
there still is. It exists on the internet. I mean.
Yeah, it's true.
With comment boards and shit.
Thought...
There's still chat rooms exist.
I guess that was our first big experience with it, though. Like, all of a sudden, boom, it's there. It's in the world.
I have trouble. Cyber sex anybody?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll say that.
Really?
Dude, I
tried it, man. I was fucking like 12. What do you want from me?
I was sleeping over at my buddy's house. This was like he was an acquaintance. He didn't really.
In retrospect, they're all dudes.
So
they're all dudes.
Yeah, and this was the thing.
I'm fucking
I sat
fucking
with this
totally
dude.
Gay.
I sat with my buddy as we cyber sexed with this chick for like.
This dude,
half an hour.
40-year-old guy,
end,
man.
And in the end, it turned out to be some dude in the military.
Get out
and
of
then,
here. It was? Like he said, like, I'm
yeah,
a dude,
he was
you're
like,
gay
I'm
now.
The military.
You're
How
a
about
fucking
you?
Queer now.
He was like, I'm actually a guy. Because we went on a lesbian chat room. Because we were like, yeah, let's have lesbian sex with another chick. And
no,
it was just
them.
Another dude.
Three dudes.
Three and
dudes,
so it was just three dudes. And
oh my God.
Then you realize that you're about 14 and you're still like coming to grips with who you are.
He's you're
like,
gay,
you were,
but he's a pedophile.
I had to check in with myself and be like, what just happened?
Am I a lesbian now?
Well, I guess like,
I was
maybe,
like, am I just an idiot?
He didn't have to tell you, so maybe at least he was nice about it. Like he felt like he. Like owed you, you know, enough to tell you that he was a man.
Told you the truth.
I mean, totally owed that to you.
Like
he was a pop,
like a popping thing.
It was a thing that pops.
Oh, you mean like pop chips?
Pop chips? What are those?
Pop chips are the snack that are popped instead of other things.
That are popped?
Sounds so healthy.
Well, yeah, I guess, but you sacrifice a lot of flavor.
Yeah.
Huh. Aww. Like, what flavors are the good flavors if I'm gonna eat it?
There's like one.
Well,
potato.
No.
Is that the good one? Because
no,
I thought that was garbage,
I
too.
I like that one. Salt and vinegar's good.
Salt and vinegar's garbage.
So you're saying it's kind of like Russian roulette, but with eating snacks.
Yeah, except that one time that that you eat the good part of the Russian roulette, it's still like, well, it's still kind of like you're getting shot in the face.
Pop chips. Kind of like getting shot in the face.
Oh, God.
Thanks for saving me on the end of that.
No problem,
that
my man.
I feel like a dick.
Like I owe.
Go ahead.
Oh, do you owe LP something, too?
Wait, we both owe people something?
We both owe people.
Oh, God.
How much?
If we had a joint account and that account was a credit card, and then we accumulated $10,000 or more of credit card debt,
yeah,
and we could not pay that debt, oh, God, you know who we should call?
Legal Helper's Debt Resolution?
Yes. Darn tootin', motherfucker. Legal Helper's Debt Resolution will guarantee to negotiate down your credit card debt of $10,000 or more.
Or you get a free turkey.
What?
Not a fact.
Matt, please, with that jingle that they're singing around the nation, what's that number and that website?
866-963-2354. Legal Helpers Debt Resolution. LegalHelpersDR.com.
Okay.
www.LegalHelpersDR.com.
All right.
You're broke.
Tell them.
Okay.
I don't care.
Please.
Wow, that was awesome.
Okay.
Oh, man.
No matter who you are.
It, and I don't regret it.
No matter who you
Everyone
are.
Everyone in the room is turned.
No matter who you are.
We love you.
If you call Legal Helpers Debt Resolution, tell them Octavarius sent you.
They won't.
Oh,
okay,
goodness.
We're just about out of time on this podcast.
Can you believe it?
Real quickly, like three seconds a person starting
God.
On this end of the room.
Oh, God.
In your opinion, best invention ever.
Shit.
Ready?
Yeah. The microwave.
Printing press.
Boy bands.
Computer.
Right.
Chairs.
Gunpowder.
Disney World.
Airplane.
God damn it. I hate you, Nick.
Great.
Wait, yeah, I switched airplane too.
Well, thank you for that.
There's a Gordon Levitt.
Said air.
Thank
then
you
we
to
all
the Levitts and maybe the Gordons.
Shut up, Lauren.
Before we end this podcast,
God damn it, Lauren!
It's time.
Is it time?
It's time for Mikula's seven words.
It's time for
of wisdom.
Oh, I love this part. Let's see if we can get through it this time. Seven words of wisdom.
Listen, Castelvi, I really have something important to.
God damn it, Nick!
Wasted
every week.
Maybe he'll get it right next time.
God, this is like the biggest blue ball event to this podcast.
So bad.
It's terrible.
That's going to do it for us, unfortunately.
Yes, on a high note.
Next week, Woody Head.
Maybe. I doubt it. I check back every Monday for a fresh podcast. Thanks for listening. Have 8 days in a wicked week. Say bye, everybody.
Bye.
Run for your life.
If you're running out of time, close and lock the door.
He's coming back for more.